This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
But the biggest loss of capital here will be the human capital of young men who are sitting and staring at their phone and watching the price of Bitcoin or the price of AMC. And ask yourself, would you be better off taking that 1, 2, or 3 hours a day and working out, trying to form relationships with mentors, with romantic relationships?
Hi, fatty. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. But fat shaming works, you know? And I just wanted to tell you quickly before we start the show about NTT Fitness and NTTNutrition.com. Now, what they do for you is they deliver you handcrafted, perfect micros, perfect macros. You get all your nutrition in one little packet. You stick it in the microwave, or if you're really fancy, you can put it in the oven or an air fryer that you got for Christmas. Everybody loves those. And you can heat it up and you eat it, you put it in your body, and then you push it out the next morning, and then you look good, you feel good. It's as easy as that. Yeah, you got to exercise too, but they can't help you with that. Actually, they can, because I believe they have a gym, but Corona still and all that. But right now, we're just saying NTTNutrition.com. Use code LEVELUP15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Please mention the homemade broadcast at checkout. Yeah, do it. 2021, new year, new you.
Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com. RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast, because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Tampa, make some noise! Hey, 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 hey. Your Buccaneers are in the Super Bowl! Let's go! You a Buccaneer fan, let me know!
Let me know!
We're about to win this thing in!
Let's go!
Buccaneers run this thing, let them know!
Let me know!
Get some. Tom Brady rolling with big guns. Got when no he bought it and Gronk is bought it and Mike Evans bought it. Throw it long, we chase it down. That Scotty Miller be pulling it down. AB and Cameron break. We blow the cannons to celebrate.
It is the Winfield never miss one play. Homemade broadcast HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. My name is Will Koontz. Welcome back. This is Little John's Buccaneers song, featuring some other guys. Let's see if I can find out whom. I cannot. I have access to the internet, but it doesn't show who the hell these people are. That's cool, though. Little John made us a song because the Buccaneers are in the Super Bowl today. If you're listening to this on Super Bowl Sunday, if you're not, perhaps the outcome has already happened. Hopefully, the whole town, the whole community, the whole city, you're happy, we're happy, I'm happy. Potentially, we're sad. And I won't know until next week when I talk to you. But I'm optimistic. I think it's going to be a great game, no matter what. You got Patrick Mahomes, the new hotshot young gun, future legend, potentially. I mean, he has a Super Bowl already. That's true. But, man, the way the media talks about him, He's a second coming of Tom Brady. But we have Tom Brady. We have the GOAT. And he is playing in the Super Bowl against the new young gun. It's going to be a great game. Great game. And I'm excited, and I think the Bucs are going to win. I'm so confident, in fact, that I even put money on this game, and I don't have any money. So that shows you just how strongly I feel about the Bucks winning. And I think they did win. And please don't tease me on Twitter if they don't win. And you can follow me over there at @home_made_man. Instagram, same thing. HMB Radio on Facebook. If they lose and you want to leave me a mean message, you can do that. 813-693-2124. You can text me. Shout out to PP Steve, who checked in. Kayer, who checked in. PP Steve has some stickers coming to him, and I have a few left. If you want some, text me your address, 813-693-2124, and I will do that for you. On the show, we got Anna Hummel. We'll be here very shortly, and we're going to talk about, of course, the Super Bowl and a few other things, COVID, and just things you can't escape from. But before we do that, I'd like to say thank you very much to Truvy Salon and Spa. T-R-U-V is in Victory, Y, Salon and Spa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Go check them out. Get your hair did. Super Bowl parties, you know, socially distanced, you know, the parade when we win. You're going to want to look good, so go get your hair cut at Truvy Salon and Spa.com.
You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
I can't talk about politics anymore, Will.
Yeah.
I'm burnt out. I'm tired. If I talk about transgender studies in Afghanistan again and the Green New Deal, I'm going to go crazy. So I made a request before we started recording that anything but that, please. I'm even willing to talk about sports. Yes. Wow.
Yeah, but you don't know anything.
Exactly, which it says a lot because I'm so sick of talking about everything else that I'm more than happy to talk about Tom Brady and the mess that his neighbors are making with all these obnoxious signs in Davis Island.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know about that.
Yeah, yeah. I saw it on the news this morning. People are making all these signs saying, like, I'm neighbors with the goat, in hopes that he'll see it and it'll, like, lift his spirits and...
Oh, that's nice.
And encourage him to do well this Sunday for the Super Bowl. And it's quite sad, but that's the stuff I'd like to pay attention to now.
I think it would have almost the opposite effect for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be embarrassed.
I think he shipped his family out of Davis Island.
He did. I heard that, too.
Right, because I think people thought he was living there, and then all of a sudden he wasn't, but he really was, and now everybody knows that he's living there because some realtor sold him out, so... poor guy, you know, just let him be for like the next few days until he gets through Sunday. I imagine there's probably a lot of pressure on him right now.
Definitely. And if you were talking about the big game in quotes, I don't know. I think you can kind of do whatever you want over where you're at, but we've been advised, to not call the Super Bowl by its name.
Yeah. I work for a frat house circus, so yeah. We can pretty much do whatever we want.
I've been making fun of it all week. Just going, the big game. That's what I've been doing every time. And with the quotes, with the air quotes.
It's barely understandable what you're saying.
Right. It gets more absurd
right.
every day because I'm so annoyed that I'm not able to call a thing the thing that it's called. You know, I understand the point of view of, well, I don't want, the NFL doesn't want, you know, some company to call or some local car lot or something like that and say
like
it's
the
a Super Bowl sale.
Say
it. Right. Yeah. Exactly. I understand that perhaps people could take advantage of that. But we're talking about the thing.
Yeah.
So you should be able to at least say that, you know, right. If we're not using it in an advertisement or something.
Uh-huh.
But we've been advised to not do that. Although nobody's really been following those.
Come get me, buddy. Like,
yeah, what are you going to do?
We're not making money off of it. We're just talking about the game that you put on. So
right.
I'm kind of excited for it. And I always feel, I don't feel anything. I'm dead inside. But I feel kind of like I'd be branded as like a bandwagon fan.
Mm.
But I'm not a bandwagon. I'm just excited for the game.
And yeah, you're probably, you know, now you call the Tampa Bay area your home, and it's something that's cool for the area, you know? You feel the excitement that other people
Correct.
Feel, and you kind of feed off of that,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm very excited, you
right,
know?
Right, but you're, like, actually a Bucks fan.
Yeah.
Well, I get excited when other people are excited.
Right, right.
Like, we saw, well, the guy you work with, the guy I used to work with, Johnny B, this mm-hmm. weekend, and when I saw that they made it into the Super Bowl, in my mind, I was like, and I even texted him this, I'm like, did you... I imagine you finished and went into cardiac arrest at the same time. Like, in my mind, that's what happened. Like, that's how excited he was. And he goes, that was pretty spot on.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's been a Bucks fan his whole life. I imagine you have as well.
I had, you know, I've been watching since I was a kid. I grew up a Cowboys fan because my cousins were Cowboys fans. So
it's
I kind of
so,
just did.
It's so arbitrary.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, but you're not even from Texas. But.
Right. Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I grew up, you know, Emmitt Smith and Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin. And
right.
I rooted for that team, but I was also a child, so I don't really know if I, you know, how much can you know? You know, it's a game. You know, it's a physical game. You don't really understand the game, though, I think, when you're a kid. You know, you go to know that these people are just hit. It's more like pro wrestling, I think, almost, and that's why I like the Cowboys. And they were good, too, during that time, so that was nice. Still have a soft spot for the Cowboys. Which when Bucks fans hear that, they go, what are you doing? And perhaps rightfully so, because they're kind of the, I don't know, the stormtroopers of the NFL.
I don't even get that reference. That must be Star Wars.
Star Wars, like the bad guys.
Okay,
you know?
See, I know bad guys.
But a lot of people watch the Cowboys because they were America's team, because they were the first ones to be broadcasted.
Is it because they're like flashy and gaudy?
No, it's because they were literally the first team that was broadcasted nationwide. Their games, or I think, were on CBS.
Okay.
So a lot of people had an affinity for them just because they were able to watch them. They were able to go into their homes every Sunday.
Is it the most expensive franchise in the NFL?
It's one of them. I don't know. I think the Patriots might be worth more now. Okay. But the value changes based off of, you know, I'm assuming revenue that they get by selling
merch.
Tickets and merch and everything. So if you're, the better you are, the more bandwagon people will buy your merch and all that. And
right.
Then your value goes up. And
yeah.
You know, so yeah, I'm very happy. I'm very excited. I think I'm actually going to start releasing these podcasts on Sunday. I don't see any reason why not to do that.
Okay.
So it's Super Bowl Sunday if you're listening to this today. Probably not. You're probably watching the game. The big game! Why are you probably watching it? We're watching it. We're going over to a friend's house, and we're going to be socially distanced outside. Yeah, I had to...
For inquiring about the invitation, because this is the same friend group that I was not invited to the Friendsgiving. So now I feel weird just... if it was like your house, obviously I would show up unannounced. Wouldn't even expect an invitation. I would just hear about it and I would be there.
Yeah.
But you can't do that with people who are like peripheral friends.
Yeah, you know, I think a lot's changed in, you know, the past few months even. I mean, honestly, even my friends who were like COVID, like afraid of COVID, are kind of like, I can't anymore.
Yeah.
Like, they're burnt out on it.
Good.
And now the vaccines are coming along, and some of my friends are getting them now, and I think that makes them more comfortable. And these are, you know, people not skipping the line. They're people in the healthcare field.
Sure.
that have gotten the shots, and yeah, and I think everybody, but we're still taking precautions. Like, we don't really hang inside. We're doing this outside. We're going to be projecting the game. I think that's a plan, anyway, projecting it on a wall outside.
Okay.
And
cool.
Sitting around. So yeah, it should be good.
Well, I will be there.
You will be.
Let them know I'm also on hydroxychloroquine. The AMA came out, the American Medical Association, reversed course, actually, and said, you wouldn't hear about this, but reversed course and said, actually, hydroxychloroquine is we don't say that doctors should not prescribe it if they see it to be fit. So remember at the beginning, they're like, it causes a heart arrhythmia. We don't know what it does to people. It's a drug that's been on the market since the 50s. It's a repurposed drug. So it's nothing new, experimental, like, I don't know, the vaccine. So they're a reverse course. They're saying if you want to take hydroxy, by all means, it's good to go. This came out in November, oddly enough, right after the election.
Hmm. Yeah, that's odd, isn't it? A lot of stuff has happened like that recently.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, you know, the COVID thing is, it's still happening. I mean, it's still going on. Every day I hear about somebody new that has it, but cases are dropping now. And I don't know if that has to do with people just getting it and recovering and having the antibodies.
Maybe
or
just the magic of Joe Biden in office. Here I am saying I don't want to talk about politics.
Yeah.
Yes, I always fall back to it. It's really,
it's
really
a trap.
Sad.
It really is.
There's new mutant strains, which is just like, okay.
I was talking to, I have an eye infection. And I'm so bummed out about it because it's really just annoying, and it's just an old man thing. Like, who gets an eye infection?
Like
babies
it's
and
not
old
pink
men.
Eye, right?
I think it's along the same lines, but it's not like my eye's not pink. It's just constantly watering and like a little bit of pus will come out of my tear duct area. So okay. It's just something that's annoying. I have to wipe my eye. I want to do it right now, but I'm going to get through this before I do. And it's just, it's put me in a depressed state.
Sure.
I hurt my knee last week.
To 36.
I hurt my back the week before. So I'm like battling these injuries. My eye's infected. I can't run. I can't do anything right now.
I feel like you can't even call that an injury. It is, but it's like it doesn't deserve the credit of an
what,
injury.
What, the eye infection?
No, your knee. Like,
oh, my knee. Well,
I mean, it is, and it's an injury, but like the way you did it, it's not like I was lifting something heavy and I was pulling a PR at the gym. It was like I was just trying to live and like was on a little jog and yeah. Now my knee is destroyed.
Well, I'm too fat to be running, really. Oh. Realistically, I shouldn't be running because it's... And I was watching this Tiger Woods interview, and he was talking about, because he's been injured for a long time.
And
where?
Yeah, what's injured on him?
His back. I mean, his body is just jacked up. His knees and his body, and he blames running for his injuries. So it's probably not a good idea for me, but that's the only physical activity that...
Especially if you're running on concrete, it's like one of the worst things for your joints.
I know, yeah. So that's what I've been doing. And I had to go and get my eye looked at yesterday by my doctor dude guy. And he tested my knee and everything just to make sure it wasn't. He gave me the full over. This guy's great. And we were talking about the COVID thing. And he said he got the vaccine. And he said it kicked his ass. He was not feeling well.
For years after the vaccine.
Yeah. But he goes, you know, and he was talking about... like this cancel culture thing. There was a group that is some sort of medical association in Florida wanted him to come on and talk about direct primary care, which is what he does. And essentially that is a subscription model for healthcare.
Uh-huh.
So I pay a reasonable fee monthly, and I can kind of annoy him on text messages. I can do telehealth. I can go see him if I want to. He has
like
a
sugar daddy, or you're, you know, you pay.
Well,
like
I'm
a,
paying
like,
him.
It's like an OnlyFans account.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, unlimited
for medical advice.
Right, for medical advice.
Yeah. So I was, and he was saying that he was apprehensive to. Oh, this people wanted to. Did I say that they were doing a podcast and they wanted him to come on and talk about direct primary care, and he refused. Because he was afraid of if he said something wrong, you know, on the podcast that they
like
would.
Like being fat is bad for your health?
You know, who knows? Yeah, I mean, I didn't blame him for his concern with that because as we've seen over the past few years.
Before I want to get into like a little game where I ask you, because you know how sometimes I have bad judgment when it comes to doing the morally right thing, the, you know, morally correct thing. I'll do something. I go, is this off base? I do have a question for you regarding that. But before we get into that, I laughed so hard when I think it was on Monday night, you sent me a screenshot of your recommended, is it Instagram reels or people you should follow on Instagram? Hilarious. I would follow all the people that were suggested to you, and it's because of the videos that I send you.
Yeah, so they think I like the weird things that you're into, which is big fat pigs that dance around with oxygen on and say that they're healthy. It's really bizarre. I mean, the mental
like TikTok dances. These and they're not thick. Okay, they're
morbidly obese,
ginormous. People, women usually, and they do the TikTok dances and they claim that they're healthy and that their doctors are fat shaming them, but they dance with the oxygen mask on.
With the oxygen.
What is it, little
the little, thing? Yeah, the nose things that go into your nose because she's so fat
and
that
she's
her lungs
23,
can't
by the way.
I mean, and just, you know, at what point do we go, okay, enough? You know, I'm all for if she wants to be fat, I don't care. Like, I'm not afraid of it. It doesn't bother me. But also, I have eyeballs and I'm able to see that clearly you are not healthy and you're dying. And just the denial that people are going through even question that they are not healthy is. But a study came out, of course, shocker, that you can't be fat and healthy. That's not a thing.
What?
It doesn't exist.
News to me.
And it's what's a shame is that these people that you follow, these women are going to be dead. you know, by the time they're 40, realistically. I mean,
they've been fat. Yeah, but they love their bodies, even in death.
That's fine. I mean, that's fine, you know, and like, die. I don't get, like, I don't give a crap.
I get it. I love, because I feel like Will and I, we share a commonality in that we're constantly, like, in self-doubt, which it can be good and bad, but it's good because it keeps you in check, and you're like, you're never thinking you're that great. I think it makes us both very relatable. I think we're likable people because we don't, you know, flash our bodies or talk about how great we are all the time. Because,
well, I have nothing to
same
show. Well, you do. You're fit.
Right, but I mean, like, listen, there's a million girls that are fitter and younger, and it just seems to be obnoxious. Even if you're
I'm
hot,
listening to you. I just
are you
going to
go take
some
urine? No. No, you're good. Your eyeball that has pus out of it. Well, I'll start with the story I want to tell you, and you tell me if I'm a bad human being or not. Yesterday, my roommate, I could see that she wasn't feeling well. Okay, obviously we live together. She was taking a phone call at work. She was coughing. She was sneezing a little bit. And she said, I heard her say on the phone, sorry, I'm not feeling very well. And so obviously a few things were running through my mind as I heard her say these things on the phone. But I didn't want to ask her how she was doing or the symptoms that she was exhibiting, even though I could see them with my own two eyeballs. Because I know that if she says or thinks that she has COVID, then I probably shouldn't go to work. I should probably sit in line for another 5 hours and get rapid testing. So once you, at least in the way that I conceptualize things, once you're aware that someone is sick or someone has COVID that you've been in contact with, then the burden of knowledge is on you to do the right thing. But if you didn't, no, then you are free to do the things you normally do.
Yeah.
So I just pretended like I didn't see anything. I went to work. I was thinking about it this morning. I took my prophylaxis, made sure to wake up. First thing I did was take the hydroxychloroquine along with zinc and a few other things. And I went to work. And then when I was at work, thankfully, she took the onus upon herself and went and got tested. She's negative. She just has a sinus infection. Everything is good. And I was very thankful. But I saw she was sick, and I purposely didn't ask her how she was feeling. Because in my mind, I'm like, as soon as I ask, then I really know. I'm like, maybe she has an allergic reaction, you know? But if she tells me I'm sick and I don't know what it is and I'm going to get COVID tested tomorrow, then I should probably not go to work tomorrow, you know, sort of a thing.
Right.
But I didn't do that. I purposely didn't ask her how or why she was sick. And thankfully, this morning when I was at work, she went and she's totally fine. I am exhibiting no symptoms. Am I a piece of S person?
It's not a new phenomenon. I've heard about this, and they wondered if people were just not getting tested. And that's why the results were going down as well. That people were just like, oh, well. I mean, there is some... ethically, you should probably, you shouldn't do that. However, I mean,
whatevs.
I don't know. I don't know what to say.
You want to say whatevs, cuzzo. I can see that in your eyes.
I mean, yeah, you shouldn't, it reacts differently with different people. It has an over 99.9% survival rate, right? Or is it 0.99.1 or something? I don't know. But I think everybody's just over it. Like, I think it's one of those things where we learn to live with it and know the risks. And, you know, I saw that Biden's new press secretary today said even with the vaccines, we're going to need to socially distance and continue to mask.
I heard even wearing two masks, maybe.
I've heard three. They were pushing three, and it makes sense. I mean, like, if three, but why not four?
Yeah.
You know, and that, well,
but then
four,
if you
then
three,
five.
Then does this person have zero? Like, is it one of those where there's just not
enough
supplies?
I think we have enough supply of masks at this point, but.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, and I've almost kind of got used to the masks. Like, it doesn't, and it is beneficial, especially in cold. The flu is almost non-existent this year because they think that people are, you know, masking up. and not spreading the flu around. So maybe it is a good idea to wear them. I wouldn't mandate it, but perhaps it is a good idea to wear them, you know, from now on, at least in cold and flu times in the winter. I mean, it's up to you. I don't think I would if I wasn't going to be shamed for it if I, you know, walk into a grocery store. But the anti-masking people and the super masking people are same, different sides of the same coin at this point. You're seeing people comment on Throwback Thursday photos, you know, from 2018, and they're being shamed for not wearing a mask in 2018 now. I mean, it's bizarre.
Throwback Thursday photos?
Yeah. Well, people are stupid, so they assume that this this is happening now.
Even if the tag says hashtag TBT.
And some of them, I wonder if they just wouldn't even care. You know, like
how come you didn't know this was going to happen?
It's still an opportunity to shame somebody of you know, relevance, that they're not relevant, and they had the opportunity to scold, you know, a person.
Yeah.
And they seize upon that opportunity. I mean, those are people are scum too. But I also at the same time, while I am sympathetic to their cause of freedom and, you know, not wanting to do the mask thing, just for me, it's like, it's not that big of a deal, you know, and I don't want to fight with anybody. I'm not.
People, I mean, I'm almost envious of the energy that people have. I'm like, clearly, if you don't have a job, if you haven't had a job for the last year, you got a lot of energy to burn, and that you might take to social media or yelling at people. And what's funny to me is that the people that are yelling at people for not wearing masks are actually doing themselves a larger disservice because they're closing in on the distance between that person. Like, they're getting in their face to yell. And that's the worst thing you could do. The best thing is to create more space.
And I had that experience with that guy at the bar that time, with the owner of that bar, who I was in an outside facility, and I didn't, I guess, wear the mask to the table where I could then remove the mask. Just this arbitrary, stupid rule. So he decided he was in a bad mood and approached me and started screaming at me in my face.
Without a mask.
He did have a mask on. However, he's still close to me, and he's saying that I'm putting his life in danger. You would think he would be far away, you know, for me. But no, he was right in my face, pointing and being a school marm and having the opportunity to shame somebody and be in the, not necessarily the right, but vindicated because of the current narrative that's going around. So I don't know. I mean, I'm almost comfortable now, and I almost think this was the point of just being at home and not going out anymore not being around people.
I'm not there at all. I'm not there at all. The opposite. Yeah. It's nice to even, and it was funny, probably like a day or two before I left for California, I was like looking around, and I was in a Curtis Dixon Park, which is like a big park in Tampa. And I saw, you know, people walking around. I saw kids playing on the playground, most without a mask, just like enjoying life. And it was like really refreshing to see, knowing that I was going to California, the land of the mask and social distancing, where some kids, depending on where you are, like San Francisco, haven't been in school since last March.
It's criminal. You know,
so
it's yeah.
I think you know, people get it's weird. One of two things can kind of happen. It's either you get fear fatigue, where at first you're scared and then you just become desensitized to it and you go, okay, it doesn't bother me anymore because it's just normal life now. Or B, you scare people so badly into submission. They're having issues with this in San Francisco and Chicago that now they're trying to encourage teachers to come back, and they will not come back. Now, is that because they're really scared, or just because they're lazy and they like staying home because it's more convenient? They don't have to pay for transportation and whatever.
Oh, how dare you assume that about teachers? They really are a protected class, aren't they?
Well, I mean, I've talked to my dad about it, and Dad, I hope you're not listening to this, and he wouldn't say this out loud in public, so I'll say it for him, but he said the pandemic is the best thing that's ever financially happened to me. And I'm like, and I was laughing when he told me that. Obviously he was serious, but he was saying it as like a joke, but it really was, because he's like, has more time to do more classes because he doesn't have to commute. He can do his laundry. He doesn't have to pay for gas. He doesn't have to wake up extra early. So like, life has never been easier for my dad. being a teacher in California. But he also was very much aware that last year was a really bad year for many people. So he wouldn't, you know, broadcast that. So that's why I'm here to do it for him.
It's really the lost year for the kids. Somebody asked Biden's press secretary, you know, given the binary choice of which people have a hard time with and also a really easy time with, depending on if they have a narrative that they want to push. The binary is easy. Like if you're not with us, you're against us.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not voting for the red team, then you're on the blue team, et cetera, and vice versa. But they asked, like, who would President Biden choose? Oh, the teachers or the kids? Because the kids are suffering and they're losing. It's the lost year. And, you know, a lot of things like math, and they build on each other. So if you get lost, you're not coming back. You can't just jump into, you know, algebra. If you miss the building blocks to algebra, you can't just jump into next year.
Yeah. And just to kind of touch on that, like with math, especially, it's like reading and literature and stuff like that, you can kind of like read a book and put it together. Maybe mom and dad can help you. But with math, when there's so many parts to the puzzle where you have to go, wait, how did you get from step two to step three?
Right.
Like that you need to be in person to do. It's not like just do these math problems, because sometimes you hit a roadblock and you really need to unpack, well, how do we do like this next step? So if you don't have that in-person learning, like you said, it really becomes like a lost year, because you can't focus. Like, I can barely focus all day on a computer, and I'm 33. I can't imagine what an 8-year-old boy is going through. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Just sitting there. There's videos going around. I don't like people using children as political pawns, and they do it on both sides. But there was one of the kid just crying because he wasn't able to understand what was happening in his class. And he was just lost and frustrated.
Zoom, or?
Yeah. And,
how old is he?
He was a kid, like not a toddler, but not a teenager, maybe a little older, 8 maybe, yeah. And it was heartbreaking watching that. And, you know, plus the not having any socialization with each other, you know, and it's criminal. It's really terrible. And, of course, Biden is folding to the teachers' unions, and they run the show. So, and his wife is a teacher, so I'm sure she whispers in his ear as well. And it's awful, you know, these people get into this profession to help and to educate our youth, and they just would rather stay home and and hang out, which I don't blame them, but
yeah,
boy, what a cost.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It certainly is. And especially, I mean, at every age, it's bad, right? Like, I can imagine, like, preteens, it's especially bad with, like, social media. Like, you don't have your friends. You really need your friends and to have that sort of one-on-one communication or in-person communication. With little kids, obviously, the issue is focus. But, like, I think about if I was a senior and this was going on, it's like you don't get your senior prom, you don't get your homecoming dance, you don't get the football games. Like, all of those things were such monumental moments that you can't recreate the next year, because there is no next year. For many people, their senior year is their last hurrah when it comes to, like, a group of friends they've had since childhood.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's really, really sad.
It is, and, you know, they're saying that, and realistically, probably they should have never closed to begin with. I mean, I'm pretty sure the recommendation from the CDC now, at least this week, was their school should be open, and there's still a lot of districts, a lot of states that are not abiding by that, and you have to ask, well, why, if you're following the science, and we're being advised on this virus by the CDC. The WHO says open schools too, that for whatever reason, maybe it's man-made and doesn't affect children as much. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. But for whatever reason, it doesn't affect kids that much, and the spread in schools is just not there. They have enough data on this. It's been a year now, and they're saying open the schools. And they're not. And you have to ask why at this point. But you see New York loosening restrictions now with the new president in office. Is California loosening them up now, too? Yep. Yeah, that's very convenient.
Last week, I believe. Oh, about a week and a half after the inauguration. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's you know. And to say that, they'll call you a nutcase for even suggesting that. But What else are you supposed to think? I mean,
who's calling you a nutcase?
Corporate press mostly.
Some of your friends. But.
No, they're actually pretty cool now. They got their way, so they're more open to hearing my point of view. Like my point of view is everything's fake now, so I have to explain that to them of why our institution. And they listen and they nod their heads, and we've found a lot of common ground on a lot of things. So, but I think most of that has to do with, well, they want. You know, they got the guy they wanted to be president, so they're okay now.
Yeah, things are a lot more calm, much like I thought they would be.
Yeah.
Trump is gone, and whether you thought he was the best guy or the worst guy, I mean, he caused an S storm. So with him gone, again, forget about policy. I don't think Biden is doing a great job already with the 40 plus executive orders he's signed. But nevertheless, if we can just talk about the energy in the air, it's a lot calmer. And it is kind of refreshing to just kind of take a deep breath and go, okay, listen, this isn't how I wanted it to pan out, but like the baby is pacified. The baby isn't screaming anymore.
Right.
So sometimes even though the kid or the baby is evil and we shouldn't give the baby candy, the baby has the lollipop now and the baby stopped crying.
And when you're talking, you mean just people like in your everyday life, because it's not really calmed down as far as like corporate press is now. They're calling, you know, they're equating the Robin Hood Reddit community as white supremacists now. And they were angry because there wasn't enough women involved in that whole thing last
week.
Yeah,
but I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong because I don't sit and watch CNN all day, but I mean, that.
Oh, I don't.
That's not the focus of what they're talking about.
I don't either. I just see, you know, things on Twitter and Instagram and stuff.
Right. And then, you know, that's it out there. But for the most part, people are talking about, you know, all the things that Biden, the reason why he signed so many executive orders, much like I expected or predicted, was that, you know, he needs to undo all the damage that Trump did.
Yeah, right.
So, and they're talking a lot about vaccine rollout and coronavirus. So, but in general, it's just more calm everywhere you go. And again, I didn't vote for Biden, but it is nice to just that the baby is sleeping now. The baby's taking a nap finally.
So yeah.
I'm enjoying that. I'm seeing a lot less political stuff. I'm seeing a lot more personal stuff on social media. Obviously, during any election, when the build up to the election, you're going to see more political stuff. But like now people are kind of returning more to their everyday lives and more to sports and more to, oh, look at me hiking or look at me doing something else. Cause you know, the guy that ruled their lives for 4 years is now gone. So they actually need to find hobbies and other things to do.
Well, that's going to be the challenge because they were smoking crack for 4 years. They had all this news cycle that
both
revolved
sides, by the way.
Yeah. Yes. But more one side than like CNN's ratings are down 44%. Over the past few weeks.
I mean, people's obsession with him on both sides. Either you loved him or you hated him, and he controlled your consciousness for 4 years is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But now that he's gone, it's like people have returned to other doing
definitely
other
more on one side than the other, I would say.
The left, you're suggesting.
I am. Because they were smoking crack, they had this strong addiction to anything him and hating him and, you know, he was a fascist and a dictator, and now they're these press things are boring now. The press secretary's you know, addresses to the people, and they're not getting that dopamine hit anymore. They're back to sipping on Bud Lights instead of smoking crack, and it's
not kind of nice.
I don't think it's probably nice for them. The drugs doesn't have as hard of a hit as it used to. So watching people kind of go, I don't know what to do now, is kind of weird. So now I guess maybe they're going hiking instead.
Right, that's a good thing.
Yeah, hopefully, but there is still a lot of nonsense out there.
Oh, no doubt.
And I don't assume that's going to get any better anytime soon. But
live your life. Go to a strip club at the Super Bowl. They're going to be all nice and clean. I was reading about that.
Mm-hmm.
The dollhouse, the penthouse, they're talking about all the precautions they're going to be taking.
No,
which
good.
Is so weird to think of, like, a strip club as like a sanitized place.
Yeah.
Because so many dirty, nasty things happen there. But they're trying to keep the patrons safe. They're trying to keep their employees safe. So go to a strip club, you know, do some blow, do whatever you want, enjoy your life, and go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Yeah, hell yeah. Sue Robin Hood. Join the class action lawsuit. I'm actually talking to him with that lawyer here that's going to be suing Robin Hood for their transgressions.
Who's doing that?
This guy in Sarasota, Brandon Taff, is suing them. So,
Jew?
Huh?
Jew?
I don't know. I don't know. He looks pretty just white guy to me.
Ah, okay.
But I don't know. I'll ask.
Thank you.
I'll ask him if he is a Jew for you.
Say your Nazi friend wanted to know.
So we're going to sue Robin Hood, sue Wall Street, and see what happens. Go Bucks. I'm assuming that I'm going to say they won tonight. And I think the score was 31-27.
Oh, my God. Can I tell you, I predicted the score on Tuesday, mm-hmm. and I said 31-28.
Wow. Bucks. Look at that.
That's what I said. That's what I said.
Nice.
Well, I know things.
Well, we'll see.
We shall.
We shall indeed. Well, that's it. That's the show this week. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com, home_made_man, HMB Radio. Follow Radio St. Pete, Radio STPETE. And if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. Have a great week. Go check out NTT Fitness. Go get a haircut at Truvy Salon and Spa. Come back and see me. I think I'm going to start uploading these on Sunday. I'm not positive yet. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, Will Koontz, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.